Tonight we're going to study until grace. What does that mean? Huh? Well, in Hebrew, ad sheyichonenu, until he grants us grace. What indeed does that mean, until grace? Well, stick around and you'll find out. Okay, so before I begin, I just want to say that tonight's class is dedicated to my teacher, my friend and my mentor, Rav David Shochat. We are presently in the midst of his shiva, and he used to give me a lot of feedback on my classes. He used to tell me, "Bini, I'm watching your classes sometimes. It's very good, you're doing good." So, Rabbi Shachat, I hope you're having nachas from on high. And we should hear and share good news. And meet again soon with the coming of Mashiach. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, this is going to be great. You're all ready? Psalm 123. Part 2, we'll focus on verse 2. In the first verse, and in our first episode, we talked about lifting our eyes and what that means and how it's almost a form of prayer or a prerequisite sometimes to prayer. I'm not even going to try to encapsulate all the things we learned because it took us a long time to get it out. But I do encourage anybody who is joining us for the first time to take the time and to listen so you have the entirety of Kapitel Kuf Chav Gimel under your belt, at least in some way. So, on that note, with all the things that we talked about that open the 123rd chapter of Tillim, the Song of Ascents, in which we lift our eyes to one, the one who sits in the heavens, so to speak, we now get a metaphor. Because clearly that, just like, it's too ethereal. It's not, what does that mean? Give us like words, give us a phrase, a narrative, an example of something that we should be able to relate to. That's ostensibly the purpose of the psalmist here. So he says, Hine, behold, this business of raising or lifting our eyes to Hayoshev v'Shamayim, you know what it's like? It's Ke'enei Avodim El Yad Adonayim. It's like the eyes of a servant to the hands of the master. Ke'enei Shifcha, like the eyes of a maidservant, El Yad Givirta, to the hand of her chatelaine or mistress. Cain, now bringing the metaphor home, Cain, so too, this indeed is a Neinu El Hashem Elekeinu. Our eyes are to Hashem Elekeinu, Ashechoneinu, until grace. So there's a lot of things that have to be understood in this statement. Firstly, what does that help, this metaphor of the servant? What does it even mean? And why is the servant looking at the hands of the master? Why is he looking at the master? And why do we need a servant and a maidservant? There's an odoin, a master, and there's a gvirta, or a gvira, a mistress. And then we say, so that's the metaphor. This is exactly what our eyes are like. El Hashem Elekeinu. We don't say El Yedei Hashem. We use sometimes anthropomorphism. It's Yad Adineihem, and it's Yad Givirta. Not Yedei, not the hands, but Yad, singular. The Yad, the hand of the master, the hand of the mistress. So too our eyes are to Hashem Elekeinu, using both names of God, the name of Hashem and Elekeinu, but no mention of hands at all. And you know what this is like about? It's Ad Sheichoneinu. It's until grace. What does that even mean? What is the meaning of raising our eyes to Hashem until we get grace. And the balance of the next hour and a bit will be trying to solve all those mysteries. With Hashem's help, it's going to be great. Okay, let's take it from the top. The first thing that we're going to try and scout out here is, what exactly is the metaphor? We say, Hine che'enei avodim el yad adineim. Our first stop is going to be the Mitzudot David. It's interesting that Rashi says nothing. He says nothing on this verse. Why? It's a metaphor. What's the problem? You know what a servant is. You know what a maidservant is. It's not intractably difficult in a pshat level. We're raising our eyes up to Hashem, raising up like a servant. Figure it out, I guess. Well, we're trying to. But Rashi is not going to help us today. So the Mitzudas David says, El Yad. The words he transcribes are not Che'enei Avodim, not El Yad Adoinehem, not like the eyes of the servant, not to the hands of the master, but the words he transcribes are El Yad. Now, by the way, the word El Yad shows up twice. The servant is El Yad Adoinehem. The Shifcha, the maidservant, is El Yad Gevirta. Both are El Yad. And here, the Mitzudas David says, we're going to explain the meaning of the word El Yad. He doesn't say that he's going to explain the seeming superfluous nature of saying the same thing twice, both in a masculine form and a feminine form, but he is going to talk about the fact that El Yad has to mean something. What does it mean, raising your eyes to a hand? El Yad means to a hand. And this is what he says. Tzofim El Yad Adoneihem. They're looking at the hand of their master. Why are they looking at the hand of the master? They're not admiring the master's handsome physique. They're looking at the hand of the master because Litein Lohem Dovarma. Because they're waiting for something. The hand is the mechanism through which they're going to get something. Like we say, the hand that gives. So they're looking at the giving hand. They're waiting to receive. They don't give up. They keep looking. They keep waiting. They're waiting to receive. They're going to keep waiting until they get what they're looking for. And that's the meaning of El Yad. They're not looking to the master. They're looking at the hand of the master, which means they have come singularly with anticipation to receive, and they'll be patient. They'll wait until they receive. So the first thing which we can kind of glean from the Mitzudas David is that what we're looking for is a handout. That's what we're looking for. And we're not about to give up. We got patience. We'll wait. We're waiting to receive something. So that's how we look to Hashem. We're looking to Hashem because Hashem can give us something. Or maybe more precisely, because we're waiting for something that only Hashem can give us. So we can't look elsewhere. Only Hashem can give this to us. Now, the Mitzudas David Tzion does talk about the term Gevirta, because it's not so common. The term Gevirta only shows up a few times in the scripture. I think it's only 4 or 5 times, maybe even less, in the entire Tanakh. It's not a common word in Tanakh. So the Mitzudas Tzion says Gevirta is the Eshes Ha'odin. It's the wife of the master. That's the name Gevirta. And he says, you see this in Genesis 16. There's a woman, her name is Hagar. Hagar is a maidservant in the home of Avram and Sarai. Sarai, seeking to be kind, seeking to be inclusive, seeking to share, says to Hagar, I'm going to welcome you into the family. You can be like a concubine for Avram. And all of a sudden, Hagar says, oh, look at that. We're equals now. And that doesn't go well. And Sarah basically drives her out of the house and she runs away. And then a malach comes, an angel comes, and he says, go back, go back. It's a good place for you. Submit to Sarah Gevirti. She says, what are you doing here? She says, I ran away, but Pnei Sarah Gevirti. I have Sarah. She's like my mistress. She's like my She's the master's wife. She put pressure. So the Malach says, it's okay, you go back. Things are going to work out. And they kind of do. And they kind of did, but that's a story for another day. So the Mitzvah Tzion does not explain the word Ke'ene. We know what that means, like eyes. We know what Avodim are, we know what Yad is, we know what an Odin is, we know what a Shifcha is. These are all familiar terms. They're used many, many times throughout the context of biblical writing. A rare word is Gevirta, and because the word has to be clarified, so he clarifies that word. And now, up at this point, just from the Mitzudas' point, because the Mitzudas, by the way, doesn't give us any more to go. And this is all the Mitzudas offers in his commentary on Psalm 123, verse 2, is that we are waiting for a handout from he or she in the masculine or feminine situation of who can give it. So we're waiting for the handout from God, for the Odin. If you want to use the metaphor of the maidservant, we're waiting for the Gvira, for the mistress, to give us the handout. So what kind of handout is this? What precisely are we waiting for? Why is there one hand? Why is not two hands? So we have a lot of questions that don't answer. So our next port of calling is going to be the Radak, Rabbeinu David Kimchi. And I'm starting off with these Mefarshim because they are what's printed in what we call the Mikraot Gedolot, most versions of the Tanakh that have, you know, the important commentaries. They're all important, but have the main commentaries. So these are the main commentaries. You have Rashi, Mitzudas, Ibn Ezra, and Radak. So that's kind of where that's going to be our initial point of departure is the Mikraot Gedolot page. And I'm doing it in this order, as you'll see, specifically. So the Radak begins to expand our understanding. He deals with the word Avodim. He says, if you're waiting for a handout, why don't you just say, Ki'ene, or Ki'ene Anoshim al Yad Adineim. It's not just the handout, it's not just the hand. We shouldn't ignore the fact that in the metaphor, it's Avodim al Yad Adineim. It's Avodim. So he says, what is the emphasis on Avodim? And he does not talk about the idea of El Yad, he doesn't mention that. He transcribes the word of Avodim. He says, The servant, that's the key, the servant. Why? Says the Radak. Because the servant is the person she'ein lahem michya uparnoso ela mehem. If you're an employee, you can choose to quit. You can find another way to make a living. This might be the more comfortable way to make a living. This is maybe a comfortable servitude for you. But you have the freedom to opt out. And you have options. Maybe you know what your options are. Maybe you don't know what your options are. You can try your options. You have options. The Eved has no options. He can't go into business for himself or herself because the Eved or the Shifcha doesn't have their own jurisdiction. They don't have the ability to do as they please. That's the nature of Eved and Shifcha. Incidentally, the concept of servant or maidservant, or dare I use the word slave, has nothing to do with lack of human rights. It has nothing to do with beatings. It has nothing to do with mistreatment. In fact, most of what we consider to be basic human rights are lifted from the Torah's description of how the master is supposed to treat the servant. Things like, if you sleep on a Sili Pastropedic, so does he or she. If you eat caviar, kosher, of course. So does he or she. They live the same lifestyle as you. If you're not living a fancy lifestyle, you don't have to order a better mattress for your servant. But they have to be eating as well as you. That's called human dignity. Human dignity is you treat others in the same way you treat yourself. And that's a slave. There is a reason that sometimes people opted to remain in slavery. They said, I don't want to leave this. This is great. I don't have to make any decisions. I have no anxiety. I have no worry. I just rely on my master. Now, this idea of not having to take any initiative whatsoever, of not having to worry at all, is a critical component in defining our relationship with Hashem. But let's put that on the back burner for a minute. Let's put the idea of no anxiety, the idea of no worries, the idea of placing everything, and I mean everything, in the hands of the master. That's the Eved. That's also us. Or it's who we could and should be. But we'll get to that at the very end of today's class. So the first thing that Radak says is, Ein lehem michyo parnosa ela mehem. And therefore, ve'aleihem tuluyim einayim. Who else would they look to? Who else will provide for them? Now, incidentally, you could argue that a small child is much the same. But the small child might have a bubby and zaidi. He might have saba and safta. Maybe he's got siblings, or maybe she's got aunts and uncles. Sometimes you get angry at your mom and dad. You run to the neighbor. I don't know. The servant doesn't have those options. The servant is indentured, entirely committed. And as such, the servant will only look to the master. Now, Radak does something somewhat unusual now. He quotes his father. And he says, Va'adoini ovi zecherin levracha, pirush al yad adineihem. I'm going to guess that Radak has the same opinion as his father, but this is his father's teaching, not his. So he quotes it in his father's name. Radak has dealt with the words avodim, and clearly he thinks that's the key to understanding this matrix. Avodim, that's the emphasis here. A person who has full reliance, sole reliance on the master. But the psalmist does use the word Eliad, not Eliadeh. Al-Yad, to the hand, singular. Al-Yad Adinehem, El-Yad Givirtam. What's that about? Well, we look to hands for a handout. What else do people use euphemistically with regard to hands? Think about it. You know, in Yiddish there's an expression which doesn't translate so well into English. It's the expression is unhent. Unhent means without hands. If you're in a yeshivish setting and you say without hands, they know what you're talking about. Without hands means no violence, not getting physical. We can argue unhent. People argue, even kids, you say unhent. It's one of the important lessons kids learn in a cheder. We don't solve our problems by use of brute force. On hent. It's not a Jewish way. In fact, the Torah prohibits the striking of another person unless they are a convicted criminal, and then the courts would administer such a beating. That's it. There is never a time when violence is okay. There's even a question in halacha. If somebody throws a punch, can you punch him back? Now, that doesn't mean pacifism and Judaism are the same. You can block the punch. You can throw a punch if that's what's needed to stop somebody else from punching you. But if a Jew comes and punches you in the face, you actually can't punch him back. That's called vengeance. You can take him to court. And if you want to take him to court, by all means, unhent, no violence. You don't take the law into your own hands. You see? That's hands. Now, by extension, then, this means discipline. You discipline with your hands. At least that's how it used to be. So, the Radak's father said, sometimes, in antiquity, when there was this institution of servitude, people would use their hands. And sometimes they'd get struck. They get a beating. Not nice. Shouldn't be this way. So when you get a beating, what do you do then? You run away from the master? What does the slave do? By the way, this could also be understood euphemistically. It doesn't have to be literal, a beating. It's like, that guy gave it to me. He gave me over the head. It could be just words. But hands mean like that discipline, like when you're treated harshly. So Doc's father said, what happens when the master is harsh with the servant, with hands, so to speak? What happens then? That's it. I'm done with you. Well, not really. You don't have an option. You're stuck with me. It's more like it. So what do you do? So the servant says, I submit. I'm sorry. I did the wrong thing. You give me over the head. I get it. And the same hand that disciplines is the same hand that gives. And that, says Radak, is why it says El Yad. Why? Because we cannot blame our suffering on forces outside of God. We cannot say, you know why we suffered? Because A or B or C. We don't actually accept that. That doesn't mean A, B, and C are not culpable. Of course they are. But they are not in control. Hashem is in control. And as we discussed at length in some of our previous lessons, the Alter Rebbe spells it out in Igeres HaKedesh Chafei when he speaks about this fellow named Shimi, who is hurling insults at David HaMelech. And David HaMelech's soldiers, they want to take care of this guy. And David says, just leave him. Just leave him. He said, what do you mean? He's a terrible guy. Hashem told him to do that. Well, if Hashem told him to do that, why is he held culpable years later? Because David HaMelech doesn't mean that he is doing the right thing. He means the insult that is being directed to me is from Hashem. Hashem intended for me right now to have that insult. That doesn't make Shimi blameless. Al hanizak nigzar, in the words of our sages, the one who was going to suffer the loss, to suffer the damage, was going to suffer the damage regardless. The perpetrator will pay the price. That's a choice they made. And as we learned at great length in Shara B'tochen, we are responsible for the choices. That's what we're responsible for, not for the end result. So, what does that mean? It means, my friends, that when we suffer in exile, and as you may remember from the previous episode, this whole psalm is a cry from the heart due to the degradation and the indignity we suffer during Golos. So all of that deprivation and degradation and indignity we're suffering, which makes us cry out to Hashem, knowing that ultimately comes from Hashem. I'm going to talk about this a little more in greater detail. And that's why it's El Yad. It's the same hand. It's the same hand that gave us a clap, so to speak, the same hand that gave us some severe judgment, discipline, the same hand. This represents the basic essence of our Jewish belief that Hashem controls and runs everything. That's really what we're getting at here. And it goes for the good, chas v'shalom, when it doesn't seem overtly good. This idea is beautifully encapsulated by Rabbeinu Yosef Chiyun, and I will read it to you as his teaching is redacted in the Me'am Lois. He says like this. This verse 2, this metaphor, Umetair es Yisrael begalut. He is now depicting the Jewish people, the people of Israel, as they exist in the harsh, exilic reality. Hamukofim oivim vitzorim. We are surrounded by enemies and those who seek to do us harm. Ve'ein lahem mozen u'michya. And oftentimes we can't seem to put life together. Can't seem to find sustenance even. So where did they place their hope? V'chol tikvasam. So our hope is pinned on Tluya b'HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the novelty. What a mistake we make when we think in modern day Israel that the United States is going to save us, that the European Union is going to save us. Nobody thinks Canada is going to save them. I'm a very loyal citizen, but I'm not happy with my government these days.
The messenger.
Ah, so who is it really from? That's from the Eibushter. So is there a rhyme or reason to do the opposite of what Hashem wants because we need to be saved? What sense would that make? Hashem delivers us. Let's go back to the future, the story of Purim. Long after Psalm 123 is redacted. But in the story of Purim, the Jewish people go to a ball, a royal ball, on Shabbat. It's not nice. Jewish children don't belong in a place like that on Shabbat. There was some kosher food, you know, TV dinners or whatever. But the really good food, that was. And it was a lot of immorality. And don't let your imagination run wild, because whatever you could think of, they had more. It wasn't nice. All kinds of enticement and entrapment. Like when you go to the airport these days, all the new airports, when you walk through to the gate, what do you have to walk through? We were just walking through the other day. You have to walk through the duty-free shop. And they have the sights and the smells. They're hitting you from all sides, you know? From the whiskey on one side to the perfume on the other, they're hitting you. And the lights are... They want to sell you on the way in, right? So this is how Achashverosh set up his party. He said, no, sure, right here, go, you know, the kosher food's right down that aisle. On the way, with a lot of interesting things to catch your attention. I gave a lot of classes on the Megillah. You go back and watch the classes, in the early classes on the Megillah, just on the first chapter. It's all very richly illustrated in the Mefarshim. So what happens is, the Jewish people reasoned, we need to go to this ball. And Mordechai said, no. You absolutely cannot go to this ball. It's on Shabbat. You don't belong there on Shabbat. They said, we'll walk. He said, you can walk. It's not a place for you to be on Shabbat. And there's going to be all kinds of things over there, which are not appropriate. And they said, yeah, but I mean, Achashverosh, he's the man. He's the man. He's a best friend of the Jewish people. He said so himself. He's going to take care of us. So, you know, we have to do our part. How well did that go? Not so well, because when Haman came along and Haman said, Achashverosh, I have the little suggestion. Don't worry. I'm going to get rid of your Jews, take care of your Jewish problem. I'll pay you for it. And Achashverosh says, you know what? Keep the money. It's just fine. That was our best friend, because he wasn't such a good friend. And the point, as the Rebbe very beautifully explains in one of the later volumes of Likutei Sichos, we talked a lot about this in the beginning of the Shaar HaBetochen classes and the certainty classes. The Rebbe says the problem was they were relying on Achashverosh. They forgot Hashem takes care of the Jewish people. And that is what Radak is trying to say. Rabbi Yosef Chiyun says, that's why we're emphasizing, like servants, because servants have a singular benefactor. Only the master. Nobody else is going to help you. Only the mistress is going to help the maidservant. And it's al yad. It's the same hand. Don't look anywhere else. And how long will you do this? He says, Ad Shechanenu, until grace. What's until grace? He says, until grace means Ad Sheirachim Aleinu, until He'll have mercy on us. V'hoshiyenu, Hashem will help us. So this is similar to what the Mitzudas David said. Einom chadele militzapes. So we can understand that Mitzudas David is then saying, what is till grace? Until grace, till you get your way. We're going to keep waiting. We know Hashem can, and we know Hashem will. So we're just going to keep lifting our eyes to Hashem. And we're not going to look elsewhere. We're not going to become distracted. Ein lanu mishi yirape. Nobody else can save us. Nobody else can help us. Rabbi Yosef Chiyun sends us to two extraordinary expressions which are found in the prophecies of Yeshayahu and Hosea, respectively. So in the 30th chapter of Yeshayahu's prophecies, he speaks about the Jewish people placing their trust in other nobility or countries or governments. Kind of like something you can read in the news today. And thinking that, no, this, I know Hashem helps us, but there is no but. And he goes on to speak about how in the end, it will be clear that only Hashem helps us. And in the 30th chapter, in verse 26, he vividly depicts that future, the future where Mashiach will come, and it will be overt and obvious to us all. He says, V'hoyo oyer halavono ke'oyer hachama. The moon will be as bright as the sun. And there's a lot of symbolism, but we're not learning Yeshayahu now. It'll be sevenfold the original primordial light which filled the universe at the time of the Genesis. Again, a lot to say about that, but not now. So this explosion of light, this remarkably changed reality that we will experience when Mashiach comes, he says, this will be Biyom Chavosh Hashem et Shever Amo. This is the day Hashem is going to bind up the breakage of his people. To bind up Biyom Chavosh, this is when it like a healing, it's like a cast, like a bandage. He said, as the Matsudas David points at Zeh HaTova Yio Be'et Yirpa, this will come at the time when Hashem heals Shivram Umakosam, their breakage and their wound. Ratzaleimar Achar HaMapolos Ashur Shehoya Makabahem, after the enemies who struck them, Hashem will bring our enemies down, and then Hashem will heal us. But the thing is this, it says, Biyom Chovash Hashem Es Shever Amo, which means the damage that his people sustained. And then Yeshayahu says, Umachatz makato yirpe. Machatz means a wound. Like the Mitzudas Tzion says, a maka, a petza, being struck, having a wound. K'moy machatz resh, like a wound in the head, God forbid. So he says, Hashem is going to heal Machatz makato. Who's maka? His maka. Makato is his maka. Not the maka of somebody else, his maka. In other words, how did this bad thing happen? Yen's from Hashem. Everything's from Hashem. That's the message. That's the avodim al yad. Regardless of what happens, we know we're looking to Hashem. The good and the bad. Because everything comes from Hashem. And we find something similar in the prophecies of Hosea, where there too, Hosea talks about the futility of expecting external help to save the Jewish people. And he cries out in the sixth chapter, he opens, he says, L'chu v'noshuva al Hashem, let us return to Hashem. Ki hu torof v'yirpa'ini, because he is the one who has, so to speak, caused us, he's this prey to be a prey, and he's going to heal us. Yach, he is the one who strikes, v'yach b'sheni, he's the one who's going to bind it up. So again, the prophet speaks about hu torof. And prophet speaks about Yah, he is the one. And so in both of these verses of the scripture, we see that we rely on the very same force that causes us the suffering, the same force that causes us the healing and the salvation. And that's the meaning of Ke'eni Avodim Ayad Adineim, for two reasons. Number one, Ke'eni Avodim, the servant has nowhere else to go. So he humbly takes the discipline, takes the punishing response, and then he waits to be given what he needs or what she needs. And furthermore, the emphasis on Yad, single, because it's the same hand. Yad Adineim, Yad Gevirtu. That's what the Radak says. The Malbim, in his commentary, he kind of, you know, he builds on all of this, but he puts it in a very elegant phraseology. He says, we're talking here, Hine, Mitzayer ze b'shnei mishalim. He says the prophet, the psalmist, is going to illustrate this with two parables. He says, Avodim, ein nosim enem rak al yad adonim. The servants have nowhere else to go. I mean, he's really saying over what the Radak says, but he uses elegant phraseology. Sometimes the same master gave them a beating, disciplined them. The same master provided them with sustenance. Here, Malbim does something very interesting. He says, if you take the Radak's approach a little further, you can now begin to understand the second half of the verse, where it says, "Kein einenu el Hashem Elokeinu. Why do we use two names of God?
Two different aspects
of divinity. One is Hashem HaMerachem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, the ineffable name of Hashem, the tetragram, Havaya, Hashem who is merciful. And then there's the name of Elokim. Elokim represents the idea of Gevura, discipline. So the Malbim kind of follows it through, and he says, you see, it's the same idea, and that's what we're looking to Hashem for, to know that Hashem is the one who gives us everything. Hashem is the one who also, Chas V'Shalom, sometimes withholds. But everything comes from Hashem.
Is Hashem ever referred to with in the plural Yadayim, or is it always the singular?
There is Yaday Hashem, yeah? Mm-hmm. Yeah? Now, let's take a look at Ebenezer, and then we're going to go to some interesting places. Ebenezer says it like this. He says, you need to know that Hine, Achakein, Diber Ba'adoi Uba'ad Amoi. The psalmist then goes to speak on his behalf and on behalf of the nation. And this kind of follows what we learned about earlier, where according to the Ebenezer, this is the Godol Hador. This is the leader of the generation speaking. So before, he said, Shehamalot Elecha Nasati, not Nasanu. We didn't raise our eyes, I raised my eyes. And we said that the leader of the Jewish people does so on behalf of the nation. Says Ibn Ezra now we say, it's plural, avadim, plural. So he says he spoke about himself, and now he spoke about his nation. The servant cannot be saved from those who seek to harm or kill him. There's only one place to go, and that's Hashem. So the Ebenezer, first of all, he's dealing with a little bit of a discrepancy from his previous interpretation. His interpretation of verse 1 harped and emphasized the singular nature of the first verse, that's God Lador, and now everything goes plural. So he says, no problem. The metaphor is not just a metaphor. The metaphor moves from the singular to the plural. First he spoke about himself, now he speaks about his nation. In doing so, the Ebenezer very elegantly answers why we need this metaphor. Because now we're going plural. Another interesting thing is, he talks about the fact that we will be pursued. There are those who are after us. He says, but only Hashem could save us. He doesn't choose to focus on the fact that everything comes from Hashem. He says, even if you look at the fact that they are culpable and they are pursuing us now, but who's going to save us? Only Hashem is going to save us. And it's kind of along the same lines, you know, what we'll call letavu lemutav, you know, for good and for over good. Everything is good from Hashem, but good which is actually good. And this is how we're looking to Hashem. We're looking to Hashem. We are trying, if you will, says the Ma'am Loyas, citing different mefarshim, like avodim noisis ayada dineim achay shenizfubam. He has reacted or initiated some kind of harsh communication. It's called an azifa. And we're like, all right, we're still waiting. We're not running. We're not going anywhere. We're still here. So we got an azifa. We got it over the head. That wasn't comfortable. Okay, but still, our eyes are still raised to you. We're still waiting that Hashem should, so to speak, save us. Okay. At this point, we're going to shift into a little bit of a, I'm going to call it like a different dimension. In the Migdash Ma'at, which I cited in many of the previous episodes in Shir HaMaalos and other chapters of Tillim, he quotes, let's just say, unusual sources which I wouldn't typically have. So he says that this idea that we just learned about. We heard it from the Tfilas David, which is the Malbim, but it's also brought down from others as well. This idea of Midas HaRachmim, Midas HaDin, God merciful. He says there's something very interesting about this verse, which is talked about by Rabbeinu Moshe Alvidla. I don't know who he was. I think he was a Spanish Gedolim. And Rabbeinu Yitzchak Armea, which is Akedas Yitzchak. And he says like this. Why is it al yad adineim? Why is it that we speak about yad gevirta? He says, yad hu hakli yoter karov, because the hand is the easiest thing to reach for or to look for insofar as the image is concerned in both giving and disciplining. And that's why we emphasize the concept of hand, because, as we've learned, the concept of both discipline and benevolence is the same hand. It's all coming from Hashem. And here, Rabbeinu Moshe brings out something, you know, very powerful, which I talked about before, but his words are like this. We should have our eyes raised only to Hashem. He says, Lama lanu livtoyach al hasarim. Why are we looking to nobility? Why are we always looking to foreign governments or magistrates or powers to be? After all, where do you think they get success from? They're all getting it from Hashem. He says, go to the source. How foolish is it if we're looking to somebody who's getting it from where we're supposed to go to begin with? The servant understands everything comes from the master. So why go to somebody who works in the system? Go straight to the master. He says, this is the message of the psalmist. How should you raise your eyes up to Hashem? Why should you raise your eyes to Hashem? Lifting your eyes to Hashem is an act not only of prayer but of faith. It's a way of making a statement of our singular security, our source for everything, Hashem. So that's the meaning of raising your eyes. Don't look elsewhere. There's a lot of things that catch our eyesight. They kind of, they call it eye candy. You look here, you look there, you look at things. Inappropriate, foolish, meaningless, purposeless. A lot of things are attractive. Just keep your eyes on the prize. Know where it comes from. And that's the meaning, says Rabbeinu Moshe and Rabbeinu Yitzchak, that's the meaning of raising your eyes, lifting your eyes to Hashem. And that's why we use the metaphor. This is what the metaphor of Hine, Che'eni Avodim al Yad Adineim, this is what that metaphor is coming to drive home.
Is it the metaphor of speaking the right hand of Hashem we're looking for, the Chesed? As opposed to
we're looking this is about the concept unity. The concept of Hashem's singularity and true betochen, real trust. That's what this is about. As you'll soon see, this psalm really is a lot about betochen. So now we understand a little bit of where this is going. We understand the business of lifting the eyes. We understand why we need the metaphor. How avodim and the shivcha. We don't know why exactly we have to use a male and a female metaphor yet. We didn't solve that at all. But we're going to get to that. And this is precisely the message. As once again the Malbim, who summarizes oftentimes what the Rishonim say in very elegant language, he says, so we, from this metaphor, are supposed to learn that Hashem is watching over us. He gives us the good. And therefore, we don't need any intermediaries. Skip the intermediaries. Go straight to Hashem. Go straight to Hashem. All right. Now, at this point, we're going to get to grace. He said, we're going to do this until grace. What does that mean? Ad sheichoneinu. And if it means, as we learned from Rabbi Yosef Chiyun and some of the other Mefarshim, until he answers our prayers, then why don't we just say that? Ad sheyitin lanu. Ad sheyoshiyenu. Ad sheyirpainu. There are a lot of words to use. So why don't we... Yitzi is asking an interesting question here. I'm sorry for interrupting. He wants to know, what halachic agency does the wife of the master have? That's a very good question, which will lead us to the answer. So hold that question and put it on the back burner. Again, I want to re-emphasize the business of until grace. What are we trying to say when we speak about until grace? What is this until grace? What does it mean? It's very uncommon, by the way. Ad sheichoneinu is it's only a few times in the entirety of Tanakh, mostly in Tillim, mostly in this chapter, actually. Because we hear about choneinu Hashem, choneinu kiras avaynu bo. What's the emphasis ad sheichoneinu? So to answer this question, we are going first to go to a Sifri. The Sifri is the Medrash Halacha, on the last two books of the Torah. This Sifri is found on the Birchat Kohanim. That's the sixth chapter of the book of Numbers, Parshas Nasi. The Birchat Kohanim, so we say, Yivarechecha Hashem, Hashem should bless you, V'yishmerecha, Yoyer Hashem panav ilecha, Hashem should cause his countenance to shine towards you. V'yichunecha. What does that mean? Till grace. Uh-huh. So that's the first time V'yichunecha shows up, till grace. What does that mean? I'm missing two books. Are there two Sfarim over there?
Yeah,
aha, okay. Thank you. We don't need them yet, but we're going to need these Sfarim soon. Thank you. So the Sifri says, V'yichunecha means matnas chinam. V'yichunecha, grace, comes from the same Hebrew word as chinam, which means free. Free means undeserved. If you pay for it, but it's much more expensive, it's basically like getting it for free. So if you pay, let's say it's worth $500, so I'll give it to you for $50, we call that in English getting it for free. It's a token. It's a token, symbolic kind of exchange. Like people rent something to you for $10 a year or a dollar. So v'yichunecha means matnas chinam. And the Sifri says, we have a cross-reference for this. What's the cross-reference for number six? He says, v'chein hu oimer, indeed, the psalmist says in Tehillim, Psalm 123, hine che'eni avodim ayad adineihem, ke'eni shivchal yad gvirta, ke'enu el Hashem elekeinu ad she'choneinu. This is what we call, if you're in the business of U-boats, a direct hit. Right, you see the direct hit. A direct link up between the concept of v'chunecha and the concept of ad she'choneinu. So clearly, the concept then of v'chunecha has to mean free. Matnas chinam. We're asking Hashem for more than we deserve. That is to say, we're not coming to Hashem and saying, Hashem, give us what we deserve. We're coming to Hashem and saying, Hashem, give us more than we deserve. And we're going to keep focusing our eyes on you. We're not going to stop looking at you. Now, to understand and appreciate this idea of ke'eni avodim, the Rebbe de Tzemach Tzedek says in his commentary on Tehillim, Yahel Oyer, he says, you know, if you look in the beginning of the Medrash Rabbah on Parshas Vayishlach, in chapter 75, it says that when Yaakov says, Vayehi li shor v'chamor, and he translates that as being the tribes, Yosef and Yisachar, and then he says, Eved v'shivcha, and he refers to Eved v'shivcha, he refers to the Jewish people. Interestingly, I did look up the Medrash, and guess who the Medrash says is Eved? David HaMelech. And who is Shivcha? Avigail, the wife of David. She said, that's the Shivcha, that's the Eved. So the Tzemach Tzedek sums up that Medrash and he says, Dikoi al Yisrael. From that Medrash we can see that this metaphor is apt for the Jewish people or for extraordinary specimens of the Jewish people. So this is the business of Kene Avodim, Kene Shivcha. And what are we doing this for? What are we looking for? Now you're going to soon see how the Tzemach Tzedek's emphasis on here in the Yahel Oyer is going to kind of drive home, it's going to drive home a point. It's going to explain to us that we need to be like Avadim. Up until now we learned that Avadim is the metaphor because we're singular, but it goes further, as we'll soon see. So the Tzemach Tzedek says, ad she'choneinu until grace. He says, what does it mean until grace? V'yesh l'farash, the dafka avodim tzrichim l'matnas chinam. Here the Tzemach Tzedek says something incredible. He says, perhaps the reason we use the metaphor of the maidservant and the servant is not only because they're singular in their dependence, which is fine. You know, the dependency on their master or mistress and our dependency on Hashem is appropriate. But he says, furthermore, avodim need to have matnas chinam. Why? Why do avodim need to have matnas chinam? Is it not possible that we should in some way earn that which we receive? Let me put it to you differently. Do we believe in meritocracy or in free handouts?
Earn what we
have to earn. Avodas Hashem. You have to be industrious. We don't believe in a welfare state. We don't believe in doing nothing. We believe in working hard. The Torah endorses hard work. It's an incredible medrash that says, when Hashem told Avraham Avinu, I want you to go to Eretz Yisrael, it's called Canaan then. Avraham Avinu says, where's Canaan? God says, keep going, I'll tell you. And Avraham comes to a land and he sees people who are lazy and dissolute and they don't care. And Avraham says, please, dear God, I hope this isn't the place. Hashem says, no, keep going. He finds more lazy people. People have siestas and they're not working. He says, oh, Vayezmer. God, you didn't mean here, did you? No, it's Avraham. Keep going. Avraham comes to Canaan and he sees immorality and he sees idolatry, but he sees a work ethic. And Avraham says, I hope this is the place. And God says, yep, you're home. That's the place. It's an amazing medrash that emphasizes the virtue of industriousness. We should be industrious. So what kind of message do we give to, say, our children or even to ourselves when we say, Achichoneinu, we're just looking at you, God. I'm looking at you, God. Hi, I'm here, my little yiddle here. Good. Please, you know, I'd like you just like take care of me, please. It's actually not totally inappropriate. Like Hashem says in his story, you have to work to make a living. It's kind of new craziness. Nobody work anymore. Just look at God. Just lift your eyes. God, I'm waiting. miracle, right here. Yeah, like, you know, like. No, that's just not appropriate. So what's the message? So here, the Tzemach Tzedek says an incredible thing. He says the Eved needs matnas chinam. Why? Because the Eved never really has anything of his own volition. He doesn't own anything. He has no jurisdiction. So whatever he receives, it's part of what the master, it's part of the master's reality. We're talking here about an incredible sense of bittul, an incredible sense of self-abnegation, of humility before Hashem. So what we're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're like your servants. Whatever Hashem owns is what I own, and whatever I own Hashem, it's all one pot. There isn't I have. God's asking, let me think about it, God. You make your request, fill out your requisition. I'll see if I should give tzedakah. I'll see. I might, you know, if I'm feeling frisky. I'll see, you know, like, we'll see what happens. There's a number of different talks from the Rebbe that follow a common theme, where the Rebbe asks about, for example, Michal David is saying Israel is a land of immortality. Right. I said Canaan was a land of immorality, not Israel. Yes, Israel, land of immortality. Correct. So the Rebbe asks, well, what's up with this business of Bikurim? The first fruit. The first fruit give to God. Farmer worked really hard. Finally, a few blossoms. He says, you know, let me enjoy. I worked really hard. I'll give tzedakah, but first me. First, let me take care of myself. Some Torah says, no. First fruit, first Hashem. Because all gift, everything has a gift. You worked hard, good. It's a gift. It's an attitude. So our attitude, reishis harisus seichem, the very first dough, it's the very first, can I have some bagels for myself? I'll give the Kohen later. Don't worry, he'll get tomorrow. But let me, I worked so hard. Mine. No, Hashem says, mine. It's my gift to you. So this is the idea of an Eved. An Eved is subservient to Hashem. So the Eved says, I'm asking for matas chinam. The Eved says to Hashem, yeah, of course I worked hard. I followed what the Torah said. I deserve, I have, I, I did all these things, I'm so fantastic, I'm so adept and so clever, I'm so nimble and swift, I'm so devoted and committed, I did this all. Baloney. Everybody only says that when they go, things go well. Right? They say that success is a mamzer, is an illegitimate child. Everybody claims paternity. Failure is an orphan. Nobody knows where it came from. So, failure? I'm at fault. The market went south. The world economy went. I didn't do anything. I played all my cards right. Yeah? When everything goes right, it's of course that you made it all happen. So this, he says, that this is Ache Choneinu. Of course we're going to work. Of course we're going to toil. If we do everything Hashem says, we have to do. But our eyes are to Hashem. We know where it comes from. And that, he says, that's the idea of Matnas Chinam. That really explains this medrash. That's the concept of, that's until grace. Until grace is the attitude that every one of us has to learn how to adopt and incorporate into our life. That's how we have to look at things. And the Tzemach Tzedek notes that in the sixth chapter of Meseches Eruvin, we hear about a person making a mechanism that would allow cooking in honor of Shabbat on Yom Tov, which is a whole subject that's not for now. But you could be mizake, you could do it on behalf of other people by virtue of somebody else. And that somebody else can be your mature child, but can't be your servant. Because your servant is your jurisdiction. So that's what we say to Hashem. It's not mine, it's not our. I'm asking from Hashem, matnas chinam. It's all a gift. Hashem gave me so much, Baruch Hashem. I appreciate everything I had. And that's the concept of Bechinas Havodim. And in order to be able to bring that level of blessing where Hashem gives us far beyond what we deserve, of course we have to work, of course we have to make efforts, but Hashem should give us in greater measure, far greater measure than our, so to speak, than what we've earned, for this you have to be an Eved. For this you have to be subservient to Hashem. For this you have to be able to look to Hashem. And we'll come back soon to see what precisely that means when we talk about looking to Hashem. We're going to come back to the Tzemach Tzedek at the end of the class. But now we're going to go for a little detour. And we're going to go to a teaching from the great Rabbi Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev in Kedushas Levi. So I saw this teaching cited in a number of places, and there's no index in my version, in my print of Kedushas Levi. So I found something, and then I found the real thing. I found the real deal. The real deal is in what we call the Likutim. But first of all, in Parshas Nosoi, the Kedushas Levi, Levi Yitzchak Berdichev, alludes to this a little bit. He says that in the Pasuk, we say to Hashem, Yisa Hashem panav eilecha. We ask Hashem to turn his face to us. And he says what we're basically asking for is that we should look deserving. We should look good in Hashem's eyes. And once Hashem grants us to look good in his eyes, so then v'yichunecha, then we can merit to receive that, if you will, that gift. Okay, that was where I thought, but this is really where it is. In the Likutim of Kedushas Levi Yitzchak HaLateira, of Kedushas Levi, he says the following in the collection of teachings on Tehillim. And this is like, this is this psalm. Hine che'ene avodam ayad adineyem, like the eyes of a servant to the master, ke'ene shivchad gvirta ad she'chonenu, until grace. He says, "Haremez al ze." What's the remez? Ma shanu kein avodom. This that we are like the servant. Uchishivcha ze hakoil. This is all ad shechaneno, until grace. Aval kishakadosh baruch hu yitim lano chein beinov. When we will find grace in God's eyes. Read grace not as beneficence. Read grace as finding grace in God's eyes. He says, "Va'oz." Then we move from being servants, and chashuvim anachnu kibonim. Then we become children. So we look to Hashem like servants, ad sheichoneinu, until he gives us grace. Once we get to grace, he says, then v'haben oviv memale sheilosio bakashosei, our father is faced with a child, and the child says, please, Abba, Tati, Daddy, who the, of course, the child asks, what are you going to say? Asher b'chol asher yivakesh mimenu, al tzadei yesetev, that regardless of what kind of request is going to be made, the loving parent is going to give. So we're in this relationship with Hashem, it starts off like an eved, but we translate from eved, we transition into ben. From a servant, we become child. That's what he says, that's ad sheichanenu. We're asking now in this manner until grace. Then once we get to grace, once we're like a child, then it's at the whole next level. Now the Sfas Emes, who is the second Rebbe of the Gerer Hasidim dynasty, in his commentary on Tehillim, he builds on Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Berditchev. He doesn't mention him by name, but it's pretty clear that he's building on his teaching. And he elaborates. He elaborates a great deal. He says, why does it say Al Yad Adenehem? Al Yad. And then he says, Keinenenu El Hashem. Why doesn't it say El Yidei Hashem? He starts off with the hands of the servant, but then it's El Hashem. So he says, the thing is like this. In Eved and Ashivcha works for some kind of purpose. There's a purpose. Call it payback, call it a portion, call it buy-in, whatever you're going to call it, there's a pras, there's an amount. It's a measured relationship. The servant is committed, the master provides. And that, it's metaphorized with the idea of a yad, the hand that gives the portion. And he says, that's how Avodas Hashem starts. He cites a commentary called Tolas Yaakov. He says, Tolas Yaakov, in his commentary on the prayers of the high holidays, explains the idea of im kebanim, im keavadim. We say, when we sound the shofar, Hashem should accept it, either like children or like servants. And he says, kebanim, like children, that's the unique domain of Am Yisrael. All of humanity is created in God's image. Every human being can and should become a servant of God. But we, Am Yisrael, are expected to become Hashem's special children. Bonim atem laHashem alekechem. The verse says, you specifically are children. That's how our chosenness is experienced. So the thing is, he says, im ka'avodim, Avodim, it says, even if you're going to be an Eved, we have a famous Mishnah where Antigonus Ish Socho said, if you're going to serve like an Eved, Al tiyu ka'avodim ha'misham shema samarav v'manas l'kal pras. Don't serve for a payback. Don't serve for a portion. Even as an Eved, you should be serving Hashem with love. But ultimately, it's not about receiving something from Hashem. Ultimately, it's not to get something. It's the joy of that service and relationship itself. And how can we merit to receive this? He says, this can only be achieved by virtue of the Torah. Because the Torah is called an Eitz Chaim, a tree of life, and that's where our life can change. And the Sfas Emes elaborates here, and he says, everybody's got to begin his or her service as an Eved. That's where it starts. Simple obedience. But hopefully it doesn't stay there. Hopefully you graduate. So you look to God as a servant until grace. Ad sheichoneinu. Then once you get to grace, then everything changes. And he said, this is the idea of the Avot. This is the patriarchs. This is the time for giving of the Torah. That Noach was a great man. And Mr. Shelach was a tzaddik. These are all important people. And they served Hashem like Avodim. And Avraham Avinu comes along and he becomes a ben. He becomes a child. And that's the meaning of Ad sheichoneinu. Ad sheichoneinu, he says, in the Sfas Emes puts it so sweetly, he says, what are we trying to say? V'chi roitzim chas v'shalom lifrik oil malchus yizbarach me'aleinu. Are we trying to say, we don't want any obligations or responsibilities, just give it to us for free? Is that what we're trying to say? What does that even mean? God, give it for free. Don't ask me for anything. That's totally out of sorts. Totally inappropriate. Ad sheichoneinu, he says, doesn't mean until grace for free. Achichoneinu means Achichoneinu l'b'chinas bonim, till we graduate and transition into children. And he uses interesting language here. He says, with one's mind, one can understand why God is worthy of being served. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a Torah not only to feed our mind, but in fact, ultimately, to stimulate and to touch the very core of our essence so that we will cleave to Hashem. The Torah is supposed to not only explain to us and help us understand why we should live a life of service, a life of devotion, a life of mission and meaning and purpose, but the Torah is supposed to enable us to live a life of dveikut, of closeness, of oneness with Hashem. So he says that's the difference between the Ben and the Eved. And the Ben, what the Ben receives is all a gift from heaven. It's not because he did A, B, or C that he deserves such and such. Whatever a child receives from a parent is a gift, because he's a child, not because of what he did. And that's what we're looking for here. That's the meaning of Ad Sheichoneinu. Now, there's a little bit of a problem with this thesis. And the problem with this thesis is that Moshe Rabbeinu is called Eved Hashem. And nobody's greater than Moshe. And ultimately, it doesn't seem to follow the simple pshat to learn this Tehillim as Ad Sheichoneinu, that we started off by saying our eyes are lifted to Hashem, and then ultimately it turns out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us, so to speak, Ad Sheichoneinu until we can go beyond that. It's really Ad Sheichoneinu, so then we should kind of explain, clarify, move on. He says the whole thing is about servant and maidservant, and ultimately it's actually about getting past servant and maidservant. And it's just alluded to the Ad Sheichoneinu. What's Yitzi asking here? Yitzi's asking about the chesed and gvura, the hands of Hashem, Yad Hashem. So the thing is like this, Yitzi. In answer to your question, I'm going to come back to answer a question I didn't answer from before, and then I'm going to get to the point. So the question I didn't answer before is, what's up with the business of the maidservant? What's the difference between the maidservant and between, so to speak, the Odin himself? The Eved goes to the Odin, and the maidservant goes to the Gevirta. So the Mefarshim explained the following. Certainly this is how it was in antiquity. And halachically speaking, it kind of works out to be, there is one jurisdiction in a marriage. There's not two jurisdictions. It's one account, there's one jurisdiction. The husband is the principal, and he represents that account. So for example, if he's a Kohen, it's a Kohen household. If he's a Levite, it's a Levite household. That's the principal of the household. So then in that case, who, so to speak, has the purse strings? The answer is the Adon, the master. So the Gvirta, she also gets whatever she wants, true. But she, so to speak, is getting it from the Adon. So the Mefarshim say that we should be Ke'ene Avodim Al Yad Adonehem. Ke'ene Shivchei Ad Gvirta means to say the following. How Hashem chooses to give us is actually irrelevant to us. Whether Hashem gives us directly, or Hashem gives us by virtue of somebody else, whether it looks like from the Adin, it looks like from the Gvira, to us it's the same. We see no multiplicity. We don't see multiple sources. All of it takes us back to the same source. There's different ways Hashem could choose to give us. Sometimes a person has a privilege of having directly from Hashem, and sometimes it comes to us in a roundabout way. We see all of that as coming from Hashem. And that's the meaning of Ke'ene Avodim al Yad Adineim. And we say Ke'ene Shivcha al Gad Gvirta, Ke'enu Neinu al Hashem Elikeinu Ad Sheichoneinu. We look to Havaya, we look to Elikim, the different names of Havaya and Elikim, we don't see that as multiplicity. Chas v'shalom. We see that all is Yad Hashem. It's all from Hashem. We don't have to say it's Yad Hashem, we see that all from Hashem. In the same way that the Yad is singular, in the same way that we look at the Odin or the Gvira, and in both situations we know ultimately it's coming from the same bank account, we see everything is coming from Hashem. Okay, So that's just to answer the question that left that we that was a little untied. We tied that up. Let's go back now to the main point. And the main point is here is that Tzemach Tzedek goes on to say the following. He says you should know that the truth is that there is an Eved who is lower than a child. It's true. True story. However, he says, Yesh Eved Shalamaila Mabichinas Ben. There is a servant who is greater than the child. And that's the meaning of Bechinas Moshe Avdi, Moshe my servant. And this idea of Moshe my servant, this is the idea, the concept, the highest level of devotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a beautiful Hemshech, a continuation of my Morim, known as Hemshech Samach Vov, that was delivered by the Rebbe Rashab from Rosh Hashanah 1905 into 1906. It goes on for like, it was a three-year Hemshech, I think. So in the middle of that, in the summer of 1906, there are five Maimorim, I think, which is called Miknerav, the Hemshech of Miknerav. And the part of the Miknerav, Samach Vov, is about the difference between serving Hashem like an Eved or serving Hashem like a Ben. And there the Rebbe Rashab explains in great detail how a Ben, it seems, is so much more virtuous. That the Eved is simply doing it out of obedience and out of dedication and devotion, but not love and not passion. But the Ben is doing it out of love. It's his parent. And then the Rebbe Rashab comes back to say that ultimately the Eved is the greater Eved Elikim. He's serving Hashem with greater devotion because in the Eved there is no I. The Ben stills an I. I'm a child. There's a healthy self-esteem. But even that healthy, permissible self-esteem ultimately is there's a self. And the highest level of serving Hashem is when we become transparent, when there's no self at all. It becomes only what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. It's the highest level over there. So this is what the Tzemach Tzedek is alluding to, this idea, which is talked about in many places in Chassidus, especially in Miknerav. And the Tzemach Tzedek says, to better understand this, I want you to take a look in the writings of Rabbeinu Bechaya in Parshas Chukas. Now, this is very interesting. When I first was looking in the teachings of Rabbeinu Bechaya ben Usher, the second Rabbeinu Bechaya, I was wondering why the Tzemach Tzedek isn't mitzayin to Rabbeinu Bechaya Parshas Beshalach, because this actually shows up in Parshas Beshalach. However, once I started to learn Parshas Chukas, I had a better appreciation of why he emphasizes Parshas Chukas, and you'll see in a minute. So he says like this. Again, I'm just telling you, this is a Rabbeinu Bechaya thesis that he develops earlier on. Rabbeinu Bechaya in Parshas Beshalach, he speaks about the crossing of the Reed Sea, and he says that they were walking into a wall of water continuously. The sea didn't split open. Why? Hashem wanted to train the Jewish people to have trust in Hashem, B'tochen. He said the food, the manna would fall from heaven daily. Why? Hashem wanted to train us to always lift our eyes to Hashem. And here, in his commentary in Parshas Chukas, he says in the 21st chapter, in verse 5, the Jewish people are complaining. What else is there? What are they complaining about? Amongst other things, they're saying, Ki ein lechem v'ein moyim. We have no bread and we have no water. Now, you're 40 years into this. What do you mean you have no bread and no water? How'd you live for 40 years without bread and water? That makes no sense. Of course it makes no sense. In Parshas Beshalach, they get bread and they get water. The water is Be'er Shel Miriam, the bread is the manna. So what's going on here? It says Rabbeinu Bechaya, Yesh L'tmoya. This is quite astonishing. Halei Hamon Yorad Lehem B'chol Yom V'yayim. Manna fell daily. Gam Ribui Hamoyim Hayo Lehem. They had enormous reservoirs of water. It was from the rock. And then the rock sealed up, and Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock. He was supposed to talk to it this time. But once again, water gushes forth. There's no shortage of water. So what kind of question? What are you complaining about now? Listen to what Rabbeinu Bechaya says. He says, Zoi hoisot lunasam. This was their complaint. They said, everything for us is strange. Why don't we have to be sustained in such a weird way, they said. Ein lanu lechem umoyim kishara umis. We don't have sustenance. We don't have bread and water like everybody else. Shara umais. Moyazakoyim, achayavim, whether the meritorious, deserving or not, they're living just fine. Endless water, endless bread. Life is great. Yesh lam lechem l'soiva vein tzorach lema hamoyim. Nobody worries about water, and there's plenty to eat. Aval anu, he says, us, God keeps us on a string like this. Keeps on a short leash. He says, kol anagaseinu, everything, our whole life. Ma'acholeinu, he says, mishteinu, our eating, our drinking. Everything's mechudash. Everything just came now. Just now, we just got it. Ein lanu lechem b'yem echad liyomim harbei. We don't have a pantry. We don't have, like other nations have. Other nations feel satisfied. They look at my surplus. I'm doing great. The royin b'yem b'yedeim v'yemoyim is between, it's in their hands. They say, Allah, we have all this food with us. He says, us? What do we have? We have today's food. Nothing else. He says, water? Even water, which the whole world has in abundance. We're in a desert. We got no water. What do we have? We have the water. Whatever Hashem is going to give us today. And then Miriam dies. Boom, the water disappears. And we're out of water again. Moshe! Ah, we need water. Okay, relax. We're getting your water. Here's what's going on over here. We don't have a normal life. Everything is like we're getting it anew. Oysi ha-lechem, that bread. Dvaryim b'yema. You get enough for today. Nothing else. Imagine living like that. It says lechem, and besides that, it's lechem kolaykel, strange bread that goes in, nothing comes out. Who ever heard of such a thing? We're going to explode someday. 40 years we're eating and we're not. this is crazy. So what is this all about? Says Rabbeinu Bechaya, Hashem is trying to educate the Jewish people. How should we live? Hinei chi'enei avodim al yad adineihem. Sound familiar? Hashem is trying to teach us to be like servants whose eyes are raised to the master. Ha'inyin ha'yolehem lahargil nafshom b'midas ha'bitochen. Hashem is trying to inculcate us with a sense of trust. Trust means you have no anxiety, not because you have stuff put away for tomorrow. I have no anxiety because I trust and rely on Hashem 100%. How are you going to get away? I know, I don't know. No, Hashem knows. I don't have to know. I'm just going to do my part. And that's emunah. That's the meaning of real faith in Hashem Yisbarach. And when the Jewish people forgot about Hashem, then the snakes came out and bit them and so on and so forth. So the Tzemach Tzedek says, do you understand what Rabbeinu Bechaya is saying here? He says, if you look a little bit further, Rabbeinu Bechaya says something exceptional. He says, you should know that this generation that was being taken through the desert, he says, Rabbeinu Bechaya says, L'maylos d'or ha-midbar shahoyo ki-malache ha-shoreis. They were like angels. They didn't have an independent reality. They were totally dependent on Hashem. And to them, they deserve to get lechem, yoyim, yoyim. A regular person can't play this game. The Baal Shem Tov used to make sure he had no money left. He couldn't sleep at night with any money in the house. Every night he ran out to find somebody poor, somebody needy. Every day he started fresh. Not a penny in the house. See what Hashem sends us today. Never kept from one day. Baal Shem Tov lived with manna. A regular person can't live like that. You go meshuga. So he says, this is the meaning of a neyem tluyas tamid, that their eyes should always be raised up to Hashem, always be lifted to Hashem. And this is what it's about. And the Tzemach Tzedek essentially is saying that this is about the concept, and this chapter of Tilim, the metaphor here is that what is the meaning of lifting our eyes to Hashem? So now think of all the things we learned over the last hour about the singularity and how everything comes from Hashem, and that we, regardless of which way it comes, we see where's it all going? It all is going back, not to go away from the avadim, not to go until grace, and then you become a ben. Until we feel that sense that everything is by Hashem's grace. That's the until grace. Until we inculcate within us that betochen, that absolute trust in Hashem. And that's how we get through golus. And that takes us back to where we started at the end of our previous class from the Tehillos Menachem, from the Tilum, the Maid of the Rebbe's commentaries, where we talked about the two polarities of Mashiach. Of Mashiach coming, it says, Oni v'reich aval hachamor, that he's like a poor person riding a donkey. What does that mean? That represents the concept of being mezachich, of utilizing the chomer, the material reality, of refining the ordinary, the pedestrian, the camp, the everyday, to refine that and to purify our world. It's not purified. It's loy zochu. It's not inherently pure. We have to purify it. We have to utilize it. And he says, on the other hand, Mashiach is aruah manane shmaya. Mashiach represents the idea of, so to speak, coming from a higher place. But the coming from a higher place, and that comes if we are zochu, which means that we have actually transformed the physical and the material. The ultimate idea is, as we learned in the previous lesson, is to fuse both approaches together, to synthesize. And as such, we could perhaps suggest that what the Tzemach Tzedek is saying is that we have to synthesize the avodah of a ben. We have to be like devoted to Hashem, like children, and to synthesize that with the simplicity and the devotion and the commitment and the humility and self-abnegation of the Eved, who is entirely reliant on Hashem, as we learned in the Shaar HaBetochen. And that's what this Tillim is really saying. That's how we get through Golos, my friends. Betochen, trust in Hashem, pure faith in Hashem, full reliance on Hashem. That's how we're able to get through the last days of Golos, and the Mirtz Hashem, in our days, b'mheira o b'yomeinu, to be zoiche, to see, to lift our eyes and see Hashem, ayin ba'ayin yiru, may it be b'mheira o b'yomeinu, speedily and in our days. Amen. Thank you guys for coming. It's good to have people to talk to. Thank you all for being online. Please share. Please like. Please support us. And let's continue to spread the message of Torah for many, many people to listen to learn from, and to be uplifted. Thank you. Yashar Koach. Laila Tova. Gute Nacht.